Imagination go wild with anticipating what that place will be like. One of these days, we will know. Before we get into our lesson, I want to show you, I believe it's three slides. Last Sunday night, we worked on making drip irrigation kits to send. This is our second time to do it, and I understand we're going to do it again fairly soon. And I wanted to show you just a couple of slides. This is Jos, Nigeria. This is the School of Biblical Studies in Jos, Nigeria that we support. And you're looking at, you can see the boulders in the background. It's an amazing place to be, an amazing place to visit. And it's a mile-high city, just like Denver, Colorado. And so even though it's on the equator, it's always cool. And the natives that come from the south off of the plateau and come to Jos freeze to death. They can't get enough cover. But for us, it's a perfect 70 to 80 degree weather, and it's just very nice. But this is drip irrigation that was done there. I'll tell you a little bit about the background of it. This was taken when I was in Nigeria in 2017. And they had started this drip irrigation a couple of years before. When they first started the school there, they wanted their students to learn a trade to support themselves and not have to depend upon support from other people as they went and preached the gospel. The problem with trying to learn a trade is the people that were teaching them the trade wanted more time than the school would allow the students to take. And so eventually that was given up, and what has taken place since then is the drip irrigation, where they grow all the crops that they will eat, all the crops that they need, and the crops that are in abundance that they can sell to those that are around. They also raise rabbits. They don't call them rabbits. They call them a bush-type animal, but it looks very much like a rabbit, just a little larger than ours. They raise fish. They raise chickens. They raise an abundance of animals that they are able to eat. And as they learn how to do all of this, when they go into a place to work, they build their own gardens, they raise their own animals, and they feed the people around them, sell food to them, sell vegetables to them in order to help make a living, and then show the community that they live in how to do it themselves. And so it's a it brings open a very strong opportunity to be able to share the gospel wherever they go and to be able to support themselves. And this is another view of the drip irrigation. It's all over the compound of the School of Biblical Studies where it is. And the reason I was there was for the graduation. And this is the graduating class of that particular year in 2017. And at this time, it's a large number of students, and it's a mix of men and women. They found it to be very helpful and strengthening to allow women to come to the classes, and they have classes of their own, being taught various things, and it also helps to put those guys and those gals together, and they marry, and they fall in love, and they fall in love, and then they marry, one of the two. And then they get to go and work together in sharing the gospel. That's just a little picture of what we have been supporting, what we've been talking about. And I wanted to show you the drip irrigation as it's used there. We're going to go to two passages. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to look at these first. What we're doing tonight, this morning we talked about what Jesus said with regard to how we are to talk in sharing the gospel with others. Well, tonight, what I wanted us to look at was, well, how do we go about finding people to talk to? How do we do that? How do we go about doing that? We're going to look at a very specific verse in the book of Acts. We'll get there in a moment. But Jesus, in the book of John, describes two things that are absolutely essential to be a disciple. And those two things summarize everything that there is about what a disciple is about. And I wanted to share those two verses with you. The first one, if you want to turn to it, is in the book of John chapter 8. And we're going to start reading in verse 31. And Jesus will say this. He's talking to the Jews, and he's talking to them about becoming his disciples. But in verse 31 and verse 32, he says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you're not abiding in his word. If you're not reading his word, studying his word, learning his word. Because in order to be a disciple of Jesus, we must abide in his word. That's the first thing that he says. That is an absolute necessity in order for us to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. The second one is still in the book of John, and it's chapter 13. And in chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus will say this to his disciples. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The two absolute requirements for being a disciple. And if you do these two things, abiding in his word and loving one another and loving others, you are walking in the steps of Jesus. You, in that very brief statement of it, are walking in the way Jesus would have you to walk. So let's take a look at what the first church looked like. Let's take a look at the very beginning of the church, where on one day, 3,000 individuals made the choice and the decision to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I want you to open with me to the book of Acts. We're going to Acts chapter 2. We're going to start the reading in verse 41. It kind of summarizes what has just happened. Peter has preached the sermon. He has preached the message of Jesus Christ. They ask, what must they do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of Christ will come into you through his word, come into you and abide in you, help you, and guide you, and direct you. But you have to choose to follow him. You have to choose to listen to him. Because you can squelch him. You can turn him away. It's up to you. It's our choice. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And we're all familiar with the next few verses. We're going to break them down and look at them a little bit. And I want you to notice, what did this church do? Just finishing out Acts chapter 2, we read starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They spent time learning God's word. They spent time listening to the apostles who were telling them God's word, because it wasn't written down yet. Eventually, it will be written down, but now it's oral. It's oral teaching coming from the apostles of Jesus Christ who have heard what Jesus said. And so the apostles are surrounded by individuals in this city of Jerusalem who are going to begin to learn the things that Jesus has said, and who eventually, because of persecution, will be spread abroad to go to other places. What they are learning and what they are spending time in are the very words Jesus spoke that the apostles heard. And what that means is, the only perspective that matters is God's. The only perspective to life that is significant and important is the one that Jesus Christ has given to us. We are called to obey Him. We are called to pay attention to His words. We are called to follow His words. And we are called to grow spiritually as we listen to those words and as we allow them to impact our life and we strive to become imitators of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that they did. They continued steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles because the teaching of the apostles was the teachings of Jesus. And as you continue reading in that verse, and they continued steadfastly in fellowship. They spent time together. This early church, not evidently all of them at one time, but they spent time together on a daily basis. They spent time with each other, doing things together, eating together, being with one another, and looking out for one another. And one of the things that we learn as we go through the rest of the New Testament is that a disconnected Christian, disconnected from the body, is a disobedient and unfaithful Christian. He's not being at all what God would have him to be. If he pays no attention to the body that he's a part of, if he has no love and desire to be with the body that he's a part of, and that's what these people were doing. They continued steadfastly in what the apostles taught, and they continued steadfastly in fellowship with one another. And not only did they connect in fellowship, they worshiped together. They worshiped together on a regular basis. The breaking of bread that's mentioned in the latter part of verse 42 could have reference to the Lord's Supper. Could also have reference to the meals that they had, but it seems as if, as we look through the Bible, they met together to have a common meal, and just as Jesus and his apostles had done at that Last Supper, they finish off that meal with the partaking of the Lord's Supper together. That's what they did. They did that together and also continually prayed together as a part of their worship. And the same thing that we do today, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were learning it. They were hearing it. They were striving to be obedient to it. They spent time with each other. They worshiped together by taking of the Lord's Supper together, by eating together. And they spent continuous time in prayer. That's what this church was doing. It begins to expound on that a little bit as we go into the next verse in verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. Wonder why? Is it because of the next statement, the many wonders that were being done by the apostles? I'm sure that was awe striking to see exactly what God was doing through those apostles to prove that they were the very ones who had the message of God. That's why the miracles were given to them. Why they were given the ability to give those spiritual gifts to other people in order for those people to know it's through the apostles because God is giving us proof. These men are actually speaking what Jesus said. Those are the things that are there. But what about the awe of looking at each other and knowing the love that comes to all of us because of the bond that holds us together? And being in awe at that bond. One of my best illustrations of that and one of my best memories of that is when we first started the school and the very first time I went to the school. I was told that before we got there and the school had been established, I didn't go the first time until they had the first graduating class. Solomon Agu was the director of the school. Solomon Agu had individuals to come, and when visitors would come from Africa in Nigeria and see what was going on at the school, they would question him. How are you doing this? Because a part of the board and a part of the faculty were individuals that were from all different tribes of Nigeria. And the tribes, generally speaking, don't get along. And you have individuals from this tribe and individuals from this tribe. And these individuals from these specific tribes are known to be enemies of one another. The government can't get them to work together. So how do you have all of these different tribes working together in this school and everybody getting along? And Solomon would explain. We have a common bond. We have a common bond that makes us family. We have a common bond that makes us a family that will live together forever. We have a common bond where we are expected by our Lord and Savior to love one another and care for one another. So we don't have to make a rule that everybody has to get along. We just make sure we're all disciples of Christ. We just make sure we're listening to Him. And the getting along takes care of itself. And that's the way that school was. And I can imagine the awe that would come over all of those people that were in Jerusalem, coming some from lands where the Gentiles lived, some coming from the heartland of Jerusalem, and some coming from different places, having different thoughts, different ideas, different languages, and they come together, and they become one because they're the same family, and they follow the same Lord. And you can imagine the awe that would come over them as a result of all of that being done. And many signs and wonders were done through the apostles, proving what we're saying is what Jesus said. What we're saying is exactly what He taught. Then in verse 44, it says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Just an example of that togetherness. And it goes on further. The next verse, verse 45, says, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as many as had need." They took care of each other. They were willing to sell the things that they had or some of the things that they had in order to help someone that was in need. And at this particular time, the need was possibly from all the visitors that had always came to Jerusalem. And now those individuals who had become Christians and had the opportunity to hear the apostles explain the full teachings of Jesus Christ, and they didn't want to leave. But they ran out of resources to stay, and that was taken care of so that they were able to stay. And then it says, "And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." They were together on a daily basis, learning, growing, coming to know each other, coming to care for each other. And then the last verse, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I want to close out by putting together these last few things, because we get an understanding of exactly what they were doing and why they were growing and how the growth was taking place so fast. I think a part of it is something that we don't have right now. The miracles would attract. The miracles were used by Jesus to attract. The miracles were things that Jesus did in order to help individuals. And in doing those miracles, He drew attention to Himself, because nobody can do these things unless God is with him. No human being can do the things that you are doing. And it brought attention to Himself and brought people to Him. And it would do the same thing with the apostles We don't have that today, but we have something very similar. And it's what these individuals were doing. The Lord added to their number every day. Now just think, look at this body of people in the city of Jerusalem. What could they have been doing that would have drawn people to them? How many times do you think one of them was asked, how come you Christians are so close to each other? How come you Christians all treat each other like a family? How come you Christians are always together? How come you eat together with these people? And we know who these other people are, but you all act like a family. How do you do that? Come with me and I'll show you. Come with me and I'll let you know. So what was the drawing card to bring people to them? Their very life. The way they lived with each other. And not only the way that they lived with each other, but they sold their things for any that were in need. Just to the Christians? No. Primarily to the Christians. How fast do you think it took for the word to get out? These Christians, they take care of each other. There are no hungry people among the Christians. There are no people among the Christians that are without shelter. There are no people among the Christians that are not being taken care of. You think the word got out? You think people knew? You think people understood? Something so very different. We have a lot of that that goes on in our country today, but can you imagine what it was like in this city of Jerusalem when this church grew so fast? And this church grew so large. Primarily, they took care of those that were their own. But they weren't the only ones they took care of. They would take care of everyone else as well. But that's not all they did. They knew what Jesus said. So they told other people about it. They helped other people answer the questions of life. They helped other people solve problems. They helped other people by directing them to the Word of God, to the words that Jesus has said about how we ought to live and the attitudes that we ought to have and what we ought to do when things aren't being done right to us. And they began to help people to see how they ought to live life. And in that process, they're talking about Jesus and His words. And they get the opportunity to share the story of Jesus and talk with somebody about, let me tell you what He's done for you. Let me tell you who He is. Let me tell you exactly what He can give to you and what He's already done. So they would talk and they would share that message of Jesus with the others that they came in contact with. And it would always be coming in contact with an individual who possibly, just by observing them, saw something different about that life. Things that they don't do, that everybody else is doing, that I wish I wasn't doing. And things that they are doing, things that they're doing in their family, the relationship that they have with their wife or their husband, the relationship that they have with their children, and the way they are raising their children. How do you do that? And you show them. You tell them. This is what God meant. This is what God intended. This is what God wants. And they learn from it. And it's no wonder that the verses will end by saying, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were having an opportunity for the first time in the history of the world to show everybody Jesus Christ. And they were doing it by the life that they lived and the words that they spoke, which are the very words they spent time in every day and learned from every day. That's how they did it. That's what we can do. That's what we need to be doing every day that we live. Let's start by knowing what Jesus says. Then let's live it in our life and strive to become what he would have us to be. And then take advantage of every opportunity we have to talk to somebody and to tell them what's been done for them. That is that first church. That is how they did it and what they did. And the Bible gives us a description of it. There may be some tonight that are ready to come to Christ, ready to be baptized into him, or needing to come home to him. We do it always, usually with the same words. But it's not about the words that are spoken. It's about the heart that's listened. And if your heart is listened and heard, and you desire to come to Christ or to come back to him, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and as we sing.
There is a bond in Gilead.